Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Good evening. This is Brother Dennis Quisenberry sitting in for Dr. Jesse Walker, who is at the hospital doing a religious service. I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking about the love of God, sharing the love of God. God has been very good to us. And one of the things that he asks us to do is to love. His love, the agape love, love one another. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any guile against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." God, you know, the Lord asked us to love one another. He's asked us to care for one another. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we do our own thing. And we look at love as the world looks at love. And that love that they talk about a lot of times of the world is perverted. They put love and sex in the same sentence, in the same place. And God's love is completely different from that. God loves us from within. And his love is not what we could do for him, but his love is what he can do for us. When we fall short and we sin, we do wrong, God still loves us. God loves us, even though we're sinners. He loves the sinner, but hates the sin that we do. God wants us to love one another without choosing who we love. But we're supposed to love everyone. And we need to continue to practice that, understand that, because God is love. We need to think about how things has happened in our lives. Our mothers, you know, they say that there's nothing like a mother's love, and that's true. As old as I am, my mother still loves me. And she corrects me when I do wrong, and she gives me advice, and not just me, but you know, my brothers as well. And she's the mother of our church, and she's there to help those who need help. And she does it out of love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And verse 6 says, "And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart." God wants you to put the love in your heart. He doesn't want your heart to wax cold. He wants you to love one another. You'll hear that over and over because that's the theme of you know, what I think about, what I pray about. God has done so much for us. And, you know, a lot of times we have problems even loving ourselves. And when we have problems loving ourselves, it's hard for us to love someone else. And St. John chapter 14, verse 23, get my Bible turned here. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is mine, but the Father's which sent me. We have to love, and we have to love Jesus, love God, love the Holy Spirit, love one another. In John 15, St. John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. You know, for us humans, that a lot of times is hard to do. You hear about it every now and then. And I remember a man went into the water to help some children that had gotten caught in a current and was dragging them out, but he went out and was saving them. And when he could get them to a place where they could get in, he was unable. He was just so tired. He was unable to save himself. That is an ultimate sacrifice. You hear people that have run in front of cars to knock someone else out of the way so they wouldn't be killed. It happened several years ago. A plane crashed in the D.C. area, and it was in the middle of the winter, and the lake, the lake or the river that was there was partially frozen over. But how this lady, you know, was thrown from the plane, and she was in the water, this ice cold water, and it was freezing. And this fireman jumped into the water and swam out to her and helped bring her back. That ice cold water like that makes your muscle tighten up to where you can't move. And that's why a lot of people die in ice cold water, because they can't move the way they want to move. But when someone is willing to go and risk their life, that is a lot of love. And you can love someone without knowing them. And it doesn't have to be a physical love. It can be a spiritual love, a agape love, a God's love that is within them. What comes to my mind, I have a friend, because he calls me his friend. And he died for us on Calvary. Jesus loved us so much that he gave up his life. He took on our sins that we could be able to live, have a right to the tree of life, that we could be able to talk to the Father through him. Jesus was just so good as a friend. How many of us would just give up and take on someone else's sins or someone else's problem and give up their lives that and die on a cross. It wasn't a good picture there. Humility that he gave that for us that we were able to have the life that he wants us to have. And John 15:17, it says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." That's a commandment. You know, you heard of the Ten Commandments, but which commandment is there in the Ten Commandments that says love one another? It's the 11th commandment. And when Jesus was here, he commanded us and says, "These things that I command you, that ye love one another." And that's St. John chapter 15, verse 17. And 18 says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So God knows that as we live and love, there's going to be hate because of the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, wants to put out God's love and put in his hate. He doesn't want anybody to love you. He don't want you to love anybody. All he wants is a lot of confusion going on. And we have to love one another. We have to live within love. If we lived love and loved, this world would be a different place. It just would be a different place. But no, you know, we got to have it our way. We a lot of times we're selfish, and if it's not our way, then it's no way. This thing is not about you. This thing is about God. You know, it's his world. You know, he created it. It's things that we have to understand and do because he has commanded us to do. And if we can't keep his commandments, then we fall short. Not just now, but at all times. We have to do some things that we may be able to make it to heaven. And, you know, you can't work your way to heaven, but you can love your way to heaven. So what are you doing to love one another? What have you given up that someone can understand that you love them? You know, do you want people to love you, or, you know, not just that physical love, but that spiritual love? I know you can hear me turning the pages of my Bible. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, and then chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Can you love your neighbor? You know, sometimes they play music too loud, or they don't keep the grass cut, the children are bad, different situations. And we have a problem with them. The dog may have come over and messed in your yard, and now you have to clean it up. But through all of that, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not because we want to, it's because God has commanded us to. In Galatians 5:22, It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That was the first one. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, and faith. And verse 23 goes on and says, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. The first thing, it says, the fruits of the Spirit. Have you ever understood what fruits of the Spirit that you have? The first one they talk about here in this chapter is the fruit of the Spirit of love, love, love. We have to share this love. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand because people around us don't treat us the way we need to be treated, or the way we should be treated, the way we expect to be treated. But in on the other hand, do we treat people the way in a good way, or do we treat them wrong and talk about them? You know, do we gossip, you know, behind their back or in their face? We have to, you know, do some things that is right as well. You know, if we do wrong, how do we expect other people to do right? We need to be a living example. And the living example is doing what God said for us to do. So, you know, that's what we need to do, is what God says to do. And God asks us so many times that, you know, just keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments by loving, then it will make a big difference, not only in our lives, but it can make a difference in other people's lives as well. If you have children, you know, you talk about loving them. Can't they feel the love? And if you have children, do you just give them everything, things that you didn't have when you were growing up, and you work all the time and don't spend any time with them? Is that showing them the love? Children want you. They want to spend time with you. They want to know that you care for them, not just giving them things. They want your time. There was a story, this little boy, you know, came to his mama one day, and the mama just got home from work. He said, "Mama, how much do you make an hour?" And she got upset because she didn't think that was any of his business. She said, "Look, I'm going to send you to your room because you asked me a question like that. I know you're asking so I will be able to give you money so you can go out and buy something else. You're just thinking about yourself." And she sent the boy to the room, and she was highly upset that he even had nerve to ask that question. And so later on, she thought about it. You know, he didn't argue with her. He went on to the room. And so she came up and asked, you know, and you know, to check on him and trying to work it out with him, you know. So she said to him, "Son, why did you ask me that?" He said, "Well, how much you make?" She said, "I make about $18 an hour." He said, "Oh." He said, "Look, I have about $20. He said, "I want to buy an hour of your time." He wanted to just spend time because she spent so much time at work. When she came home, she was too tired to do anything with him. So he wanted to buy at least an hour of her time, that instead of being at work, she would be at home with him. How many of you work that hard that you can't spend time not only with your children, but either your wives or your husband, maybe some other members of the family? Maybe you work too hard to spend any time in church or any of the extra church programs. Maybe you work too hard even to go to church. God loves you, and he wants you to love other people. And by you keeping his commandments, and one of his commandments, he wants you to go to church and share love not only with him, but his people, the brethren of the church. It is time that, you know, we get back and do the things that will uplift God. In 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." With a pure heart. You know, I had a father-in-law that used to say that there's a lot of people in church with lip service. They use their lips. You can see the lips moving, but nothing's coming out. They talk about love, but really doesn't have love in their heart. What about you? Do you have love in your heart? Can people really feel it? Can people see it? You know, if you don't have the love or show the love, then, you know, people really know if you have it or not. Children are very honest. You know, if you've tried to pull the wool over their eye, they can tell you, you know, that you're not for true. It is time that we do what God has asked us to do, and that is to love. And then when you get tired of loving, you love again. It's important that we do love. You know, it's, you know, like I said, you know, not just the lip service, but we need to do the true service. So it's important that we do love and love one another. In 1 John 1 John 4:7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So that's why I talk to you about love, because the love that you should share is the love of God, not the love of the world, but the love of God. In verse 9 it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God love sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be appropriation for our sins. Beloved, in verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. This is verse 12. And his love is perfected in us. I want God's love to be perfect to in me, that as I love, I don't want anything in return. I want God to continue to love me and have so much love in me that it spills out onto other people, into other people, that not that I'm glorified, but that God is glorified. His love is shared upon his people, his beloved. Those who love him, we need to gather together and share the love with others. It bothers me when children are committing suicide because of other children talking about them. It doesn't make sense to me that how one child can talk about another child so bad that they will commit suicide. I took the children of the church, the young people of the church, 12, 13 to 30, and I brought them in all into the middle and told them if somebody ever talked about it, let me know. I would stand up for them. I wanted them to know that the love of God loves them. And that is a bigger love than anything anybody can say negative against them. That's nothing but the devil. You know, that is causing these people to talk about other people. And we as parents need to hug and to love our children so much that if somebody says something to them negative like that, that they know to come to us. If we don't have children, we still need to be loving enough that people around us would know that we have the love and that we'll pray for them, that we'll work with them, that we'll be with them because of the love of God that is in us. And how God loved us, we need to love other people. And people need to know that they can come to us. They need to feel it. If they can't feel it, you know, if you just got to run and tell them, oh, yeah, I love you, and they don't know it without you having to tell them, then there is a problem. There is a problem. You have to make sure that you are living a life that people will see God in you, the love of God in you. We have a few minutes left, and I want to say a word of prayer. Lord, as we bow before you now, we want to thank you for thy grace, thy mercy, thy understanding. Lord, we want to thank you for all you have done. We want to thank you for thy son, Jesus, who loved us so much that he came to the earth to live, to teach us, to take on our sins, and to die for us that we may have the right to the tree of life. And, Lord, at least what we can do is to die daily for him, die daily to self. Other people can see the love that has been still within us, and people will turn their lives over to God. Thank you, Lord, for thy grace and thy mercy. Forgive us for our many sins, and help us. Help us, Lord, to walk and to talk thy holy word, that we may live it in a way that you will be proud of us, that you'll continue. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us. And, Lord, when seen coming in great clouds of glory, we pray that we'll be there again for whatever you call us to do thy will is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember to listen to the show show on Tuesday night from 7 to 8. And if you missed that, next week at between 8 and 8:30, the inspirational show will be back here. Again, next Friday, Dr. Walker should be back, and we're looking forward to being with everyone. And tell someone about the shows, and to join in when you can. I ask for your prayers that we all can live happily together, and that our relationship will grow stronger and stronger, not only in God's name, but in our families. That the love that constraineth us will help us to love more and more people around us. It's my prayer. It's my thoughts. And let God lead and guide you in all that you do. You be good, be careful, and may God bless you. Thank you for joining us this evening. My name is Dennis Quisenberry, signing off. Bye now.